Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I gotta catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
She's going around the corner.
Come on.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of new people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We should mate.
What?
Date. I said we should date sometime, you know, socially. Go out and kick it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. I hope your Monday afternoon's going well. We've got Ian Poulter farting off the tee box. We'll get to that today. We're going to talk about the Civil War name. It's been a couple days. That hit me Friday so late and right before the show. I really enjoyed the conversation, or at least going back and forth, reading some thoughts and seeing what everybody was thinking while also waxing poetic with Swigart on that.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't find out what you thought.
Ooh, you want to hear my hot takes on that?
Well, I kind of don't. You're super racist, and I'm nervous because you never know.
Okay, hold on. While you're rocking a mullet, you are not allowed to call anybody a racist. Now, once you go back to your normal haircut.
I'm rocking the mullet to get rid of the stereotype here.
Then people with mullets
I will be
aren't
a
racist.
White guy with a mullet supporting Black Lives Matter. I don't care what they say.
That is against the grain. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, I am.
Although we did a poll question on it, and it feels like today, now this is a very small Twitter sample size of like 300 some votes. Feels like calmer heads have prevailed over the last couple of days.
Well, you know, we had a couple real P1s that I really enjoy hearing from on different things, mm-hmm. and some of them were, you know, a couple of them really share. They're like, I can't really support this player anymore. Where did this come from? This doesn't mean that. We don't view it that way.
I think there's always, when something like that happens, there's the initial shock value.
There's not one person alive there's not one person listening to the show, I should say, that was alive before we didn't call it the Civil War.
No, how long has it been called the Civil War?
1928.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a long time.
So who's listening right now that was born in 1920? So it's been Civil War all our lives.
Because I had the same reaction. We were golfing and somebody got the notice on the phone. It was like, it's no longer the Civil War. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What? Huh? What's happening? Why is it not this? Please explain. Where did this come from? How did this come? Like, there's the initial shock value. But I think after a couple of days, you kind of say, all right. Maybe read up on the reasonings and what other people had to say about it. And you realize it's just a name at the end of the day.
So we'll get into that. You can share your thoughts at the fan text line. But it's time for the NFL Whip Around Monday, 1 o'clock.
Frozen Dungeons.
How about them Cowboys?
Very cowboy-esque show with the mullet, Dirt rocking the highlighter Carhartt long sleeve.
Yeah, did not notice
that. I just went camping this weekend. I mean,
look at you.
Look at the demographic we're trying to hit.
How about us cowboys?
Boy, that's the whitest show of all time.
Seriously.
We all just did the same thing. Oh, if only there were cameras in the studio.
All right, well, I'm glad there's not. Let's start with the New England Patriots. Who they didn't just sign Cam Newton yet. We largely have been glossing over this. Let's dive into it. They were penalized for their taping of the Bengals.
You don't say. They cheated again.
Who, when they taped them, were 1-12 The Patriots needed they needed inside information. They were fined $1.1 million and they lost a third round draft pick. Question, how many times can a team cheat before something more serious happens? And what are we to make? This feels like it might go down as one of the more under-talked about stories. A team that's been dominant and won for 20 years has been involved in cheating scandals 1, 2, 3 times.
Yeah.
Probably more.
Yeah, you had Spygate, you had Deflategate, and now you have this gate, whatever you want to call
Bengalgate.
It. Bengalgate. That's a great question on how many times it's going to take. At least there's only two of them that have been filming the other team and supposedly not taking their signs, but maybe taking their signs. I haven't read up on this, to be honest with you, much since it happened. I remember it being a huge controversy happening in early December, and it's like, did they really do this again? They came out and said it was much ado about nothing. It was just a harmless TV crew that happened to be there and, you know, filming the box, and they looked over the tape, and it was a little bit more than that.
We're not buying that.
No,
this
I'm
team
not buying
cheats.
It. They cheat.
They're great, but they also cheat.
My retort to you would be, I would say for New England, the money doesn't matter. Finding an NFL team is stupid. Same thing that goes with Houston. Losing a third-round pick is a pretty decent punishment for a team that really capitalizes on later-round picks, and they like to trade back and acquire more assets. So to lose a third-round pick, I'd say that's a decent level of punishment. Maybe people wanted to see more. I found it hilarious that news bomb happened on the same exact night that they signed Cam Newton to distract all of us from the fact that they got caught cheating again.
Am I a hypocrite, or is anybody like me a hypocrite for how hard we went against the Astros and still will? And then, like, when New England gets brought up, I acknowledge that they cheated in the Super Bowl. I don't know if I fully buy the Deflategate one, and I said that when that was going on, but
even if they deflated the footballs, to me, that's not that big of a deal, and I've argued that from day one.
They won that game in the second half when the balls weren't deflated. That was proven.
And they smoked Indianapolis in that AFC title game, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl.
But, like, when you cheat this many different times, and we don't... I don't know. It kind of feels like we give them a pass in a certain regard because they've won for 20 years.
I am on the website right now, yourteamcheats.com.
Oh, okay.
And they are going over the history of the Patriots cheating past. How we forgot about Formation Gate when John Harbaugh and the Ravens.
Didn't cheat. No, that wasn't cheating. They had a stipulation in the rule, and the NFL, I believe, after that game, changed the rule to not allow that stipulation. Just like when they did delay a game.
Yeah, they capitalized on that kind of stuff.
They knew they know all the detailed little descriptions of what these rules are, and they manipulate them to fall in line. It's like North Carolina with their academic scandal. It's absolutely cheating. But by the definition of the NCAA, it doesn't fall under that umbrella.
We also have Headset Gate when they hacked into the Steelers' headsets during that one game.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question I haven't really thought about. Are we being hypocritical?
Because we go pretty hard at the Astros.
Maybe it's something about the sports, too, because I feel like baseball, we take cheating more. Like, look how we treat steroid users in baseball as opposed to football.
Well, they get in the Hall of Fame unless they're Barry Bonds.
Sure, but if there's a big-time NFL player that tests positive for steroids, does anybody really bat an eye?
No.
We don't care, right? Even if it's like, who's been one of the best NFL, it's J.J. Watt, right? Been a
Jason Peterson.
Jason Peterson, right? Test positive for steroids, and, okay, we don't really care.
Did J.J. Watt test positive?
No, I'm just saying, I was just using him as an example. He's still going to be a Hall of Fame player. We're not going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame for that, but if you do it in baseball, we view you 100% as a cheater. So I think it goes in line with that a little bit.
What's the DB's name? Peterson for Arizona?
Yeah, it's not Jason Peterson.
No, it's not Jason Peterson. I said it and I instantly was like, that's not
right.
Yeah,
I repeated it after you and I knew that
Patrick
wasn't
Peterson?
Right.
Patrick
Peterson.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. He tested positive for PEDs.
Yeah, I think he missed the first 4 or 5 games last
year. Yeah, you get your boilerplate suspension and then you come back and we say, hey, look at that. He's still a great player.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just wanted to pass that along because the Cam Newton one is getting more of the headlines. We talked about best pass rushers. And Shaq Barrett, who had his best season ever, led the league in sacks, 19.5. He told SiriusXM's NFL channel that if he doesn't get a long-term deal done, which he actually isn't very optimistic about right now, he will sign his franchise tag, no problem.
Which I think for him is probably the wise move because of how much money it's going to be for him for one season. He's not old yet by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he's 27 going on 28. He hasn't made a ton of money throughout the course of his career, so you get the chance. I mean, what's the tag at? You're looking at $15, $16 million, right? Somewhere in that range. So that would be far more than he's been able to make in his career. And if you come out and you prove it again, you have back-to-back good seasons like that, maybe that contract's waiting for you by the time you go on 28, 29, and you're able to make a little bit more money. I think there's a prove-it factor. And I get why Tampa Bay would want to say, let's see you do it for one more season. If you play at that level, maybe they're more willing to spend some money on him.
Johnny Manziel tells a Lubbock newspaper that his football days are probably behind him. Quote,
no S, Sherlock.
I know a lot of people probably want me to come back and play.
No, nobody does. Literally nobody.
And give it another chance.
Nobody.
But I don't know. As far as being a person and figuring out life as a young adult, trying to make it and figure it out, if I've ever been in a better place than I'm in right now, I can honestly say I'm happy and I'm doing the right things to try and put a smile on my face every day, and that means more to me than going out and grinding on the football field.
I don't know. I would like to see him in that silver and blue maybe for a season or two. Make Jerry's dream come true. Get Johnny
Gonna be a Cowboy.
God,
get him on the cheap now.
Yeah, you could sign him for like $4.
Chase Daniel.
Look, I'm happy that he is.
Give me Nate Peterman.
Apparently happy in life. I'm all for the people being happy, but nobody wants him to play football. Nobody's offering him a chance to play football. When was the last time we saw him? Couldn't even get a run in the AAF.
Yeah, that was the last time.
It was terrible.
Actually, no, I don't think we saw him in there. We saw him in the Canadian Football League.
He was terrible in that too. I'm just taking shots in the dark. I'm just willing to guess that he was terrible in both those leagues when he played.
A lot of people have discussed how the NFL is going to go on with COVID. Well, Eagles offensive lineman Lane Johnson said, quote, with the circumstances unlike any that we have been a part of, we just need to tackle it head on and do the best we can. As far as the testing, I'm sure that will be pretty frequent. You know, trying to limit outside sources as far as who we are making contact with. Ultimately, we got to do it together. It's going to be weird, but as far as moving forward, I think we will get it all figured out. He told that to Jeff Skaversky of 6ABC.
Okay, big fan of Jeff. Mm-hmm. I'm staying optimistic that it's ultimately going to be okay. A lot of it, I think, it's going to come down to personal responsibility off the field and doing the right thing. You're going to have positive tests, positive cases, just like we've seen in every sports league that has tried to return. You're already seeing it in the NFL. A handful of baseball players have tested positive. Some NBA players have tested positive. It's a reality, man. We're still dealing with it, but you got to be as smart as you can. And if you are, football season will go on as planned.
Ava DuVernay, you know who that is?
I have heard that name before.
She made the 13th. Yeah. On Netflix. She also made the one on the Central Park 5.
Yes, yes.
She's a pretty famous film director. She is launching a new Netflix series. Let's see. Called Colin in Black and White. There's a script that was written, and Kaepernick is going to be a part of this as an executive producer. It's going to be a 6-episode docuseries chronicling Kaepernick's upbringing in the experiences that propelled him to become a national icon for protesting police brutality and racial injustice. They'll hire an actor to play Kaepernick in his formative years, while the 32-year-old Kaepernick will appear in present day.
Interesting. Is like acting like himself? Or I thought it was going to be a documentary.
I think it's like a flashback to what his life was, okay, and then insert child actor here.
A reenacting part of a documentary, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's coming to Netflix. I don't know when. I don't think a date was announced for that, but they announced that this morning. Huh. A Colin Kaepernick series called Colin in Black and White.
Very interested in it, and I'm also curious how much he's able to say about the way things went down with the NFL, because when you settle, a lot of times you sign
those NDAs.
Right, an NDA, yeah. And I think people have been wondering that now about him returning. Was that a part of the NDA? Can't, you know, just... Nobody knows, I think, the specifics that are in there. So I would be interested to get a sit-down interview with him and just hear how that process went. But I'm just curious how much he's able to say.
All right, there's our NFL whip around. We do it every Monday at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, we've had the weekend to think over it. Dirt hasn't sounded off on it yet. Joe, I'd actually like your opinion, too. You're an Oregon alum and a big Oregon State fan. What were your thoughts on them canceling or actually getting rid of? I say canceling. Probably not the right term here with the cancel culture stuff.
Not the right word.
What are your thoughts just on in general of them changing the rivalry name from the Civil War, dropping it entirely, and thinking about a new one? We'll talk a little bit about that. You can chime in at the Fan text line. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Ian Poulter farted off the tee box. We'll get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Friday, Oregon and Oregon State announced that they had talked. This was inspired, I believe, by Dennis Dixon on June 14th. Yeah, I think we counted it was 12 days from when he brought it up to when they actually changed it. Dixon brought it up in a meeting. This was, let me ask you this real quick. Mm-hmm. Had you heard any rumblings ever? Because I had said there was a couple times that I had heard people bring it up, but like it never had any seriousness to it.
Of getting rid of the name?
Of getting rid of or talking about a new name for it.
I don't ever remember that being something that I heard about.
Well, they announced it Friday. The Civil War is no longer the Civil War. It is Oregon, Oregon State. They'll come up with a new name. They'll brand it. They'll market the living hell out of it. They'll try to get you to spend $45 on a T-shirt for every single year that it happens.
The Battle of Oregon.
Yeah. So, but they concluded, though, that Dennis Dixon, other former players, and some of the current players, they don't want to be tied to the Civil War reference. And so they've dropped it entirely from their athletic department matchups with Oregon State.
It was quite the news bomb. By the way, I am enjoying the people who are texting in disproving your fact or your theory that there's nobody alive that knew of the non-Civil War, Civil War.
No. Stop.
Hold on.
I said listening.
Yeah. Somebody texted in, well, my grandma Bernice celebrated her 99th birthday on Saturday, happens to be listening, so born 1921. Woo! She doesn't care as long as the Beavers win.
Okay.
So, boom. Okay. We got a 99-year-old listener.
That just blew up in my face.
We have another one. Somebody
Happy
texted
birthday.
In. My dad is a U of O grad, born in 1920. Now,
Damn.
He does not say if they're listening or not, but still, born in 1920. Another one. My neighbor just turned 100. Not sure if he's a listener, though, but hey, what the hell? He probably is. So there you go. We got a couple people that
was
are alive.
That grandma's name, Bernice?
My grandma Bernice out there listening.
Happy birthday, Grandma Bernice. Thanks for listening to us. And
boom.
By the way,
born in 1921.
I know I was wrong, Bernice, but I'm a Beaver, so go Beavs.
Yeah, exactly. She said, doesn't care as long as the Beavers win. Doesn't care about the name change. I think to the point that you're asking about, have we ever heard about this? I think that leads to the shock of just, wait, what? It just kind of comes out of left field at you. My initial reaction is, sure, is it a little overly PC? Yeah. Are there other names that should be changed before the Civil War? Yeah. How about the Washington Redskins? Let's start there and work our way down, maybe. There's a few other that come to my mind.
I've enjoyed how Black Lives Matter, the Washington football team,
yes,
has been.
Yes.
Not ironically realizing as they're tweeting.
Right.
Yeah.
Still got that name. That's a bit of an issue. Anyways.
We are all for equality.
Yeah. Oh,
we're not standing for racial injustice. Buy our new merch.
Right. Yeah. Please go buy our.
There's a redskin on our T-shirt. Jeez Louise.
Talk about tone deaf. So, yeah, I mean, there's other names that come to my mind. But my approach this entire time has been, if there is something that people have an issue with, I might not personally have an issue with it. It might not be something that I think about or needs to be changed. But there, if those people are out there, then I'm willing to listen to the argument. I think it carries a lot of weight, the fact that you had football players formerly that played at Oregon and Oregon State. Now, not all of them, because you mentioned one person that you were going back and forth with, which made me chuckle when I saw your response. But there's former football players who played in this rivalry who hate the other school, Oregon and Oregon State, right? It goes back a long ways. That felt like the name needed to be changed. And once you get over the immediate outrage and you realize that, A, the game is still going to happen, they are still going to compete, it is just a superficial thing. Like, the Civil War is just a moniker that we use for the game. It's not like with the name being gone, the game's not going to happen or what, right? It's something that shows up on T-shirts. It shows up on a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It's said on the television broadcast. Outside of that, it's just a meaningless name that was given to the game 100 years ago. Before then, I don't even know what they called it. And everybody survived just fine in 1927 when they didn't call it the Civil War. And the next time they play, it's going to be a little weird. Some people might still call it the Civil War. But as long as the game is still happening and you don't name it something super stupid, this is not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of
things.
Well,
you know, I seen out over the weekend, too, because I've been at so many of these tailgates at both campuses. And like, I have no doubt that if this season happens and we can get through during COVID or maybe get to a point where at the end when they play, we can do a limited amount of fans. I'll have no surprise if people in the tailgate are still calling it the Civil War.
Right.
The only thing I would ask, man, is can we just stop the conflict on every damn thing? Right. Like, if you don't understand it, that's perfectly okay. But what I don't want to have happen, and I can totally see this going down, is the individual who feels he has to be loud and proud of still calling it the Civil War. And so he like almost does this thing where it gets all the attention at a parking lot or they carry a big flag and they bring it in the stadium. This will always be the Civil War. It's like, what do you benefit out of that outside of just kind of looking like a jackass in the crowd? They're not changing this because you brought a flag.
It's real to me, damn it.
It's still real. And, you know, I said this Friday, I don't know what they're going to call it. I largely think they're going to call it something stupid.
Like, yeah, they're probably going to call it something
the
I-5
battle, or you know what I mean? Like the battle of Willamette Valley,
yeah,
or
the
whatever.
The War of the Willamette is the one that I saw floated around.
There, I saw a lot of the similar ones were being... we had a lot of people that were texting in. Great suggestions, yeah. By the way. But
yeah, that's the go-to right now.
I don't have any faith it's going to be a good name.
Yeah.
If you still want to call it the Civil War, like...
How about it's just Oregon versus Oregon State?
Or yeah, just call it Oregon State football game. I don't know. Just don't be a douche about it. That's all I'm kind of saying is... Yeah. Let's respect how people feel. And if you don't understand that, then that's okay. There's a lot of things that go on in the world that I don't understand.
Right.
But I roll with it anyway. You're never going to get this name back. It's gone. It's done. Let's move on.
Well, and somebody poking a hole in my theory, saying, Dirt said, let's start with a Washington football team and work our way up. Starting small with the Civil War, and maybe others will further pressure the NFL team from D.C. to change their name. And that's a valid point. Maybe that's the route that people want to go, is minor little things like this that maybe don't pop into the forefront of everybody's minds, but it does for some. Changing things like this, maybe it does create a place where we no longer have a racist logo and a racist team name like exists in the NFL or in Major League Baseball for that example. So hopefully that's the case, and maybe it ends up taking place that way. I think largely we can get, we need to realize that not everything has to affect us personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be my advice out of this, because I'm sure there were a lot of people that were genuinely angry and pissed when this happened.
Yes, there were.
And it's a meaningless name. Right, like it's still.
But people get really upset by the
people don't like change.
I mean,
that's the main
culture
thing.
And the changing.
Sure, yeah, the cancel culture. I get, yeah. And everybody's raising their arms about that right now. I think ultimately it comes down to people don't like change. We don't like change in any aspect of life. So if you're 40 years old, every year of your life you've known it as the Civil War. Now it's this like new scary reality where it's no longer going to be the Civil War, but you're going to get a couple of years removed from this, and it's going to be totally normal. Like it's
well,
just going to take some
different time. It shouldn't be different. When
it's
still the game.
It's still the game. It's still Oregon versus Oregon State.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to change about the on-field product. Oregon's still going to kill them every single year. Hey-oh! And then ultimately we're going to move on. And I'm glad on Friday you brought up, because one of the examples I thought, now this is drastically different because it's not a racist moniker, if you will, not that the Civil War is for everybody, but the Moda Center Rose Garden thing. Like when that name changed, everybody was outraged by it. Like, how can we go from the Rose Garden to the Moda Center? And I was probably one of them too.
Right.
And for the first couple of years, it was like, yeah, man, I'm still going to call it the Rose Garden. Moda's not paying me any money. I'm not going to use their corporate name on the building. It's always going to be the Rose Garden. But now we're what, 5 years, 6 years removed from that, however long it's been. And it's like, oh, it's Moda Center. Still occasionally throw the Rose Garden out there, but for most people, it's just become normalized.
I'm going to the Moda.
Right, I'm going to the Moda Center tonight. So I think a lot of people who maybe are frustrated by it or don't think that it will be the same, I think the first time we see these two teams play, you'll realize that the game is still going on as normal, and it will eventually become normal. We'll get through this.
But this also came the day after Amazon had purchased the rights to the Seattle Arena, and it's going to be called the Climate Pledge Arena.
Sure.
So this comes right after. So it's like back-to-back Pacific Northwest name changes of things. And the climate. So Swag pointed this out. I didn't see this. The Climate Pledge Arena thing. They're going to, one, drive a nickname instead of just calling it Climate Pledge every time. Somebody wants to call it the Greenhouse.
Which is great.
I thought that was brilliant.
Also, it's Jeff Bezos' money. He can do whatever the hell he wants with it. If somebody wants to buy the Moda Center or bring an NHL team. If somebody wants to bring a Major League Baseball team here and they want to name the stadium the Poop Park. It's their money. Put whatever name on it you want. Yeah. Why am I going
to
care what the name of the park is?
Yeah, you might get some pushback on that.
I think the Poop Park is a bit much.
Let's go to the poo this afternoon.
I think you're paying a lot more money to call it the Poop Park.
Let's poo
than
it
you
up,
think.
Man. Poo it up by the Willamette. Like, why are people so
outraged? Flush our opponents every time
exactly.
At the end of the game?
When they strike out, you play a flushing sound. Why were people so outraged by that? It's his money. He can name the arena whatever he wants. I think the Smoothie King Arena is incredibly stupid. But
right,
it's
but
their,
it's a really famous brand over there.
Named the arena.
Yeah.
Why I didn't quite get the controversy for that.
People get really upset by the environment stuff.
It's his money. You can pay whatever he wants for it.
Well, it'd be nice if he paid taxes first.
Yes, that would be a great start.
Pay for that, and then let's talk about the Climate Pledge Arena.
Somebody texted in, UCLA and USC don't have a name for their rivalry. They just hate each other, and it's just fine.
Yeah,
isn't
that's true.
Stanford and Cal just the big game?
It's just the big game.
Yeah, I didn't look. I said on Friday I'd look into it, and I got totally lazy. Why is Mississippi called the Egg Bowl?
I don't know. I don't know the
big
story behind
egg
that.
Egg farmers down there in Mississippi. I don't know.
I don't know. I'd have to look
what
into that.
What if we did something super random like that and everybody was like, what? Why does that have to do
it's
with
it's going
to
be dumb. But maybe as dumb as it gets is what we more embrace.
Something to do with like hazelnuts or something like that.
Yeah. What's not Oregon at all?
Well, I mean, we got a lot of hazelnuts here in Oregon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got grass seed.
Because I don't think of, we got grass seed.
Dude,
grass
aren't we the grass seed capital? Is that what it is? I don't know. I think largely, I think we enjoy doing a show on it because we kind of end up with similar viewpoints on certain things. And this is, it's funny. Everything you're saying is like basically what
same
I went
thing
with.
You for summarized
the
on
first like two segments was weird because I still didn't really know how I felt. Like I wasn't upset or outraged, but I was so caught off guard that it just came out of left field that it's done.
Right.
And I was like, what?
Well,
and then I got in, I started talking about it, started figuring out how I felt. I saw a couple texts and I'm like, okay, everything else that's been changed, like these Confederate statues that get taken down. Like, I'm not all for vandalism, but if you're taking down a guy who owned like 150 human beings and just had horrific rhetoric and was trying to actively go against our country,
I'm not going
to
be too upset about that.
Rip that bad boy down. I don't need to see that bitch in a park anymore. Rip it down.
A couple of somebody texting, we should throw some money down, name it the Dirty Sprague Bowl. I'm all for that. Hey, one's a duck, one's a beaver. We've done that our whole show. But, you know, and somebody texted in, can you summarize why it's needing to be changed? What was wrong with the Civil War? It's an honest question. I think it's important to teach people about the history of the Civil War, right? You want to educate people on the history of our country, what we've gone through, and it's important to peek under every dirty rock and figure out all of the dark past that exists in this country. And there's a lot of it. It's important to not turn a blind eye to it. I think the argument would be, are you normalizing something that one side fought for the extension of slavery? That is the argument for it. Is the Civil War, if people who understand the Civil War, one side rebelled against the United States of America and fought for the extension of slavery. So you're playing a game and putting a moniker on it that normalizes that as, oh, it's just a good old battle of two people that don't like each other.
Well,
when in reality, and I know that's not what
they're going with.
Right.
Actually, by definition, it's an in-state battle. And
right.
It's like, well.
Yeah, that's where it's, I get, like, I think
it's
that
created in 1920 right. something. So there was something probably to it.
Sure. I don't think the intention when they named it was to normalize the Confederacy or say that their cause was just. I don't think that was the argument.
We were a pretty racist state
in the
20s.
No doubt that we were. I just think we're much more aware, and we say, do we want to normalize something that was half of the war was people fighting for slavery?
I have
right?
no doubt that you, me, and most, if not all of our listeners, we never thought about it in the context of that. But for that listener's question, all we can go off is the press release. Dennis Dixon, the former Oregon quarterback, brought this up.
Who were the Beaver players that chimed in on it? Because I saw something that said like former players
Steven
on both
Jackson
sides.
Was on a call, okay. I believe. I think Ken Simonton talked to some people. Those kind of guys talked about it after, but Dennis Dixon brought it up to Mullins. They had an in-depth conversation. They involved Oregon State, which was great. They came together. It's just there are black athletes that don't like it. They're just a little uncomfortable with it. They never were a fan of it. Obviously, Dixon played in it, right? He was involved in it at least, so he didn't feel comfortable. Yeah, and they brought it up, and they've concluded that, look, let's just get away from it. Let's not make anybody feel weird, so let's call it the new Egg Bowl, whatever that in the grass seed battle of football. I don't know what the hell they're going to call it, but
I still think we should go with something that's not Oregonian in any way, shape, or form.
I'd be totally cool with that.
Like the Grand Canyon battle. Like, wait, what? Why do they name it the Grand Canyon battle?
The Battle of Mount Angel.
Yeah, make everybody question, why is that the name? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know what they're going to call it, but
just call it the Toilet Bowl.
I don't know if I'm even upset by that.
Everybody wears t-shirts with toilets on them.
What? Yeah.
You flush your rival down the toilet.
Green and yellow, black and orange.
Dude.
I mean, we kind of embrace our history, right? Our history was that we largely sucked.
We used to suck.
Oregon got some checks. They're doing well. Oregon State's rebounding now. Let's just embrace the toilet bowl, baby.
I'm all for it.
Okay, coming up next, what do you want to get to?
Let's get to the NBA schedules because they totally rigged it like we thought they would.
Okay, we'll do that. The Blazers schedule, I don't even know if I want to bet a dollar on this one. Not great. We'll get to that next. Dirt and Sprague back with more. But first, Joe with a sports update.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Somebody texted the Kangaroo Bowl. Whoever wins gets a giant kangaroo trophy. Whoever loses gets a little kangaroo trophy for the year. You got to ride in your rival's pouch for the rest of the year. Huh? Not a bad idea. Make everybody nationally wonder, why do they call it the Kangaroo Bowl? I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. Okay, so I looked it up. The Egg Bowl is the name That's given funny. To the Mississippi State Ole Miss football game, an American football rivalry, yada, yada, yada. Rivalry is the 10th longest uninterrupted series in the U.S. The two teams first played each other in 1901. Since 1927, the winning squad has been awarded possession of the Golden Egg Trophy.
The Golden Egg.
In cases where the game ended in a tie, the previous winner retained possession of the trophy.
So it doesn't say why they're named the Egg Bowl?
It
is funny when you think about it, too, because Michigan-Ohio State, somebody texted in, doesn't have a name, does it?
Michigan-Ohio State?
And some would argue that's the biggest rivalry in all of college football.
No, it doesn't.
And there's no, it's just
I mean, you get the Iron Bowl, and then you have
Maybe
Michigan
they just call
State.
It the game or something. I don't know, but it doesn't have like an official moniker that I know of.
Yeah, Michigan-Ohio State doesn't have a name. That's a great point.
Kind of a good point. So here you go. There's a lot of Civil War name talk for you. By the way, we got a poll question up on that. We'll get to it coming up in the final hour. I'm going to slightly push. I want to talk about the NBA scheduling because I don't believe you got to that Friday, did you?
Civil War thing threw the show through a loop a little bit.
Because that they did exactly what we thought they were going to do, and that needs to be discussed because it's hilarious. And the NBA needs to be called out for it, although I don't necessarily disagree with their tactics. Did you see that the ESPN is reporting that the NBA might allow players to inscribe messaging on their jerseys?
Yeah, this could be a problem because they already had one Ja Morant have basically in.
He got, yeah.
He had to apologize today.
Yes, he did. So there
was an F the police reference, right?
Yes. Yeah. They're considering allowing players to inscribe a message that pertains to a social cause on the back of their jersey instead of just having their last name across the back of their jersey. I didn't want to go the Ja Morant angle because that's a little dark.
Well, I was just bringing up that he had retweeted it and he has since apologized for that.
I more wanted to point out, did you see what Spencer Dinwiddie wants to do?
I did see this.
Spencer Dinwiddie
is an interesting cat.
He's an interesting dude, and he's coming out of left field because usually when people are going to go with like a social cause, that kind of stuff, you're thinking in the current climate, you're going to go with some form of Black Lives Matter kind of thing or a hashtag or a Twitter, right? Like you could do something like that. Spencer Dinwiddie's taking a different approach to this bad boy. He wants to highlight the national and global debt.
He said, $26 trillion, right?
He said, if you're wondering what I'm going to put on the back of my jersey, it'll be trillion. Woke up at 4 a.m. to see that I'm getting lit up in the comments for talking about global debt. Comments ranging from massive amounts of debt are good, which I disagree with, to it's not personal debt, obviously, to it's a waste of a platform amongst others, to those I question, what is the purpose of putting a social issue on the back of the jersey to inspire change, right? Considering that nobody opts out of the complete global financial system and the USA weaponized the dollar, that means you need to leverage within the system. That's what he tweeted. So Spencer Dinwiddie kind of coming out of left field, going to go global debt.
I don't know if this is completely out of left field, though. I'd say more right field. Like, is it sure. far-reaching and kind of blind you a little bit? Like, what? Yes. But Spencer Dinwiddie, if there's any athlete that's going to do it, it's going to be him.
I just hope that there's a player out there that goes the Michael Scott approach and does, like, rabies.
The rabies.
Like, puts the thing on the back of their jersey.
For rabies.
What is he? What?
Huh? Four. Yeah, people die a year from rabies.
Four.
That's four too many. But Dinwiddie, if you don't remember, he's the one that tried to do his contract with Bitcoin.
He did,
He wanted a digital contract. He didn't want cash. He didn't want dollar bills. He wanted Bitcoin.
Hey, man, I don't blame him. Bitcoin, man.
Well, but
accumulate.
The digital currency thing was tough, though, and I think they ended up taking that out and not allowing that to happen because the NBA didn't want to dabble in Bitcoin, and it was a weird. He's super into that dark web.
Sure.
The other currency stuff, not to say it's negative, just to say that like he is down with what's going on the internet and not so much what everybody else is using. So I'm not shocked that he used the term trillion to describe global debt. And then that's his message.
Also, if he didn't explain it to anybody and if he just showed up at a game wearing trillion on the back of his jersey, would anybody know what he's referencing?
No, I think they would just think he's telling the world he's keeping it a trillion.
Is
in Orlando?
It's no longer 100. It's now a trillion.
Well, you got to keep it 100,000 trillion.
He should have the exact debt number for every game and update.
Oh, the number goes up. Yeah. That would actually
After
be pretty
every
funny.
Every game, he has to restitch the new numbers as the debt goes up.
To your point, Joe, let me ask this to listeners, and it's okay to be honest. How surprised would sports fans be if like he came out and it said 26.8 trillion and you went, what's that? And he goes, this is currently our American debt that we have. How many people will go, whoa, what?
Probably a lot.
Not know the current debt situation? What is the current debt?
I'm going to Google it.
Is it 26?
Really showing our economic prowess here on the show.
When you're
current
stupid
debt
as me.
Of the United States.
Who do we owe?
The moon? Oh, that's a lot of numbers. 24.95 trillion is what Google is telling me.
Gotcha.
As of May 1st, 2020, it looks like.
Yeah, but if you're not doing your last name, I mean, unless everybody's in on just doing Black Lives Matter to support awareness.
Right.
Are you trying to do anything to stand out, or are you doing, like, first name?
Yeah, what's the most random thing that people could try and be a social cause for?
Like Lyme disease or something?
Lyme disease?
It's pretty terrible, man. I hear some things.
Head lice? Man, it gets really itchy.
COVID-19?
Like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's a thing. That's, yeah.
Oh, wait, that's still around? That still exists. So Spencer Dinwiddie.
Polio.
Polio coming out saying that's going to be his social cause. The NBA is considering allowing players to inscribe a message pertaining to social causes on the back of their jersey instead of just their name when they restart in Orlando. I think that was one of the things that they did. Remember when Kyrie and all those guys were talking about we need to continue fighting for the causes and we want to keep up with the protests and all that stuff. I'm sure the NBA came back with this idea. You're going to have great eyeballs, great platform. Why don't you use it to your advantage? But Spencer Dinwiddie, he's going to go global debt, which, hey, it's a big issue. So I guess I can't really fault him for that. Let's get to the NBA scheduling, though, because we all had a conspiracy theory when the return format was announced. And that conspiracy theory was confirmed when they released the schedule. We'll get to that crunch time next on The Fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, the Beaverton Aloha Division locations, back up and running. Got a deal going on, $0 enrollment, $0 for the first 30 days. Go check them out, crunch.com, or stop by one of the locations.
Let's go!
Be back at the gym this week. Just saw this, want to pass it along. I'm sure it'll make everybody happy. Kate Brown just said that she is going to require the wearing of face coverings in indoor public spaces beginning on July 1st.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, just want to pass that along.
We shall
see. Isn't it amazing how weird the messaging has been? Because I thought that was initially going to be the thing when we got to phase one. Weren't they going to be required starting on, like, the next Wednesday? But then it was like, no, it's not required. It's just strongly recommended.
Which is nothing. Like, strongly right. recommended from somebody in charge means you do whatever the hell you want. My older brother came down from Washington. He went to Seaside and Astoria and Cannon Beach this weekend on a weekend trip. And I asked him, I said, what was it like? He goes, I mean, what's a summer in Seaside like? And I said,
that's what it was
crazy.
Like.
And he goes, nobody was wearing masks.
Yeah.
Nobody. In businesses, on the sidewalks. I mean, you had thousands upon thousands of people flock to the beach this weekend, ride the tilt-a-whirl, ride the bumper cars. Nobody wearing masks.
We got that going for us, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I had a very enlightening conversation with a gentleman at 7-Eleven who was trying to play mask police to the cashier. Why are you letting people in without masks?
Oh.
But took that route.
I've had at least four or five times that I've wanted to just ask, hey, what is it? You can't breathe? What is it? And I don't, because there's no point. If you're not wearing a mask, you don't want to wear a mask. Yeah. You don't care what dipstick Brandon Sprague has to say about it.
Yeah, that guy is a dipstick. I agree with that. So there you go. That's going to start on July 1st. So just thought I'd point that out. I just saw that come across the old newswire. Okay, on to a funner topic. Not a word, but I'm going to use it anyways. The NBA schedule was released.
Mm-hmm.
Are we all fired up about this? Now,
it's going to be weird.
It's going to be really weird.
I just thought about how the NBA is returning at the end of the month, and that caught me off guard. And I was like, wait, I'll be watching NBA basketball in August?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very strange. We have the chance. Just think, ponder for a moment. If all goes according to plan, the chance in August to have the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, Major League Baseball, and like major golf tournaments, not to mention every other sport, all happening.
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird, but awesome at the same time.
Well, yes and no. It depends who's there. It depends who gets sick and has to sit out with COVID.
Very true. It could go bad.
Based on how 2020's rolling, I would say this is not going to end up being as kick-ass as we think, but I hope to be wrong on this because I want nothing more than to sit down and watch sports again.
Well, let's go down the road that it's going to happen and nothing wrong is ever going to take place. And so 8 games is what you're going to get in the regular season, remember. So they announced the 8 games that you're going to play. Portland needing to gain a little ground on Memphis to fight for that number 8 seed and get the play-in tournament to happen. Here is their schedule. If you have not seen it yet, I know Joe's been reading it. You probably have, but I'm going to rattle through it. Just in case you haven't, Memphis, they start Friday, July 31st is their first game. It'll be taking place at 1 o'clock right in the middle of our show. Memphis, Boston.
It's great for our audience.
Houston, Denver, the LA Clippers, the 76ers, Dallas, and then they close with Brooklyn on August 13th. So from July 31st to August 13th, that is going to be the stretch. So essentially 2 weeks is what their run's going to be. That's a pretty tough gauntlet. There's only one team in there that's currently not, unless you know, is Brooklyn currently in the playoff picture in the East?
Yeah.
But they're going to suck. So there's only one easy game in there, I would argue.
Well, I would say it depends on what the seeding ends up being. There's a chance their last two could both be meaningless games for those franchises that involve Dallas and Brooklyn.
True.
But 6 of your 8.
Tough run, right?
You're facing all playoff teams that are all good. And by the way, you don't get to play Memphis twice. On your original schedule, you had Memphis slated, I think, for the 9th or 10th game.
Yeah.
But because of Memphis's schedule, they couldn't schedule Portland with Memphis twice because that would have put Memphis over the threshold that they needed. So we kind of got screwed there. But yeah, you pair that with how easy New Orleans' schedule is. Not very encouraging, I think, for Portland Trailblazer fans.
So that first game will be vitally in Portland against Memphis again on Friday, July 31st. But the conspiracy theory, and some GMs around the league have even floated this anonymously, the whole reason they invited this number of teams to play 8 regular season games and then a play-in for the playoffs was to get Zion into the postseason.
Yep.
We all floated that conspiracy theory. GMs did it. Fans did it. We're like, why are we doing... Oh, okay, that's right. They want Zion versus LeBron in the first round because it's going to be a ratings bonanza. And then you see New Orleans' schedule and you think, yep, that's exactly what they were doing.
But you were reminded, like the NBA didn't come out and create a schedule out of thin air. You were reminded that New Orleans' schedule to end the year was more favorable than everybody else's.
Sure, but you're eliminating bad teams essentially from going to, well, not all bad teams, some bad teams will still be there, and it seems like New Orleans plays all of them. So they start with Utah and the LA Clippers. They then get Memphis and then go on a run of Sacramento, Washington, San Antonio, Sacramento, Orlando.
Yeah.
So that is their schedule. You think of the elite teams that are there, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Lakers, Denver, you know, the top, you know, teams in the East and the West. The only one they're playing is the LA Clippers. And then from Memphis on, they're getting teams that are an 8 seed or worse in their respective conference. And it is going to be an incredibly easy stretch, which, again, proved the conspiracy theory. They want New Orleans to get the 8 seed.
Well, the funny thing is, if they end up getting Memphis and Lakers, they get the next best thing, and that's Ja Morant versus LeBron. Yep. And Ja Morant, I think, could have a pretty damn good series as a young up-and-coming player. I'd give their team absolutely no chance to win even one game.
No.
But having Ja Morant in it is fun as well. Look, I've been saying this on social media, and I'll just carry it over because we finally got the schedule out. It's entirely possible New Orleans gets to the 9 seed, plays for the 8, and gets in. But I think it's also important to highlight when you have a team like that, where you do have some vets, some J.J. Redick, some Jrue Holidays, it's great. But you also have a young team that doesn't know how to win. You've got key players in key positions that just quite frankly haven't had that kind of game on the line.
No, they haven't, yeah.
You know, like, hey, we win our next 2 to get to that 9 seed. They haven't been in that situation but for many people. So I think you look at that and then you pair that with just teams coming back. Who's ready and who's not? I think it is easy to look at the Blazers schedule and see Boston, Philly, Houston.
It's a tough run.
It's very tough. How do we know those teams are going to be as good as they were when they ended their run? Because we don't know what those players were doing on those teams. You have Damian Lillard. You got a shot. Some people think that Nurk and Collins coming back, they may be rusty. But hey, what if the rest of the league is rusty? That might not matter all that much. I hope those people end up being correct. But I look at the schedule and I think one of two things. I largely lean Portland doesn't really have a chance. I don't think they're particularly talented enough anyway to compete with most of those teams. And two, you could go the other way. Portland might be rusty, but so could everybody else. So that could take away a bit of the talent difference between Portland and all those opponents.
Well, I think your point is valid, too. We don't know what everybody's going to be playing for and how hard they're going to be trying in those 8 games. Because if you're a team that's like the Clippers, for example, they're I think Denver has a chance to catch him. But
I think Dallas is pretty locked in.
Dallas is pretty locked in, right? There's some teams that are just kind of, they are where they are. And even if they fall a spot or two, maybe they want a preferable matchup. But I don't think they're going to overexert themselves for that because they know they're in the postseason and there's no home court advantage on the line. It's not a normal year where you want to make sure you get the two seed so you get home court in the second round, right? It's just, you're just kind of throwing them out and going and playing a series. And maybe you want to avoid one team or the other in the second round if you're able to get through the first round. But that's a big part of it, too. The thing you know about New Orleans is that Sacramento largely has nothing to play for. I'm not giving them much of a chance. San Antonio has essentially already punted.
Oh, you're counting out Sacramento?
I am counting on Sacramento. San Antonio's punted, and so is Washington.
Yeah, San Antonio, to me, is clearly punting.
So, I mean, they're going to have some young guys that are maybe hungry, looking for a chance to prove themselves in an NBA situation. But it will be an easy stretch for them. Portland's will largely depend on what our team's playing for down the run there. Their last handful of games. But there's your NBA schedule, and everybody thought the conspiracy theory was to get Zion into the playoffs, and it feels like the schedule release confirmed that. Isn't it weird to actually talk about NBA games that are taking place? There's lines out on all these games, by the way.
Yeah, there's title odds.
you can go gamble on every single one of those.
Did you see, like, the schedule format for the days?
It's, like all day.
I love it.
That's how it should be.
It's going to be amazing.
I'm not a big fan of the midday game.
I don't care. I mean, I am.
NBA
at 11 a.m., 1:30.
Did you give me like Boston, Philly on at 12:30 in the middle of the day? Are you kidding me? I'm all over that. I know.
We're doing a radio show.
Yeah, there's day games in baseball all the time. You just peer up at the television during the show.
Dirt was so addicted to Giants baseball when we first started this. There would be Giants games on at the start of our night show, and you couldn't get to Dirt the first hour. He was just, he's locked in. Giants playing for a wild card spot.
And even your baby. So here we go. We got some schedules to talk about.
I'm sure we'll have a lot to, like, live on-air play-by-play.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my God. Embiid just dunked. It's going to be so great.
It's insane.
Actual sports could be happening soon, but there's the NBA schedule got released. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Beaverton, Alola Division, all back up and running. $0 enrollment, $0 for the first 30 days of the deals they got going on right now. Check them out, crunch.com, or stop by one of the locations. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Some troubling news for a Pac-12 school. See how that plays long term. We have some baseball news to get to in terms of a couple of guys opting out and not wanting to go. What else do I have in my notes?
That UCLA story is pretty crazy.
We're going to get to that. I want to talk some hangover cures because we got some great tweets earlier today. So we'll get to that a little bit in the final hour. I want to start, though, with some golf stuff because we have Fartgate and broadcasting news.
Yes, we do. The broadcasting news is pretty big.
Two big golf stories. We'll start the final hour there next. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.